Okay, so we're doing a very interesting discussion today, which is about Makos Yeraf Manalef. Basically says is that the murderer goes free, the guy who kills Bashoya goes free when the Kohen Gadol dies. Right?
Right.
So it says that
the
Kohen Gadol's mother would prepare food and clothing.
So we shouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol should reach 120.
Right.
Jacob.
Right, so the Kohen Gadol's mother, I'm just starting. Kohen Gadol's mother would daven. I'm sorry, not with daven. The Kohen Gadol's mother would prepare food and clothing for the murderer, for the Rosh Hashanah Chagiga. Okay, for the Shogeg murderer. So that the people in Ari Miklat wouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol dies. Right? Because they go free when the Kohen Gadol dies. So you may think that they're going to daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. So in order to prevent that, the mother of the Kohen Gadol would prepare goodie baskets for the Rosh Hashanah. Want people davening for her. Presumably the mother doesn't want people davening for her son to die, so therefore she would do is she try to prevent them from davening that the Kohen Gadol would die. How does she do that? Well, by if she's taking good care of them and giving them these goodie baskets, so now they're going to like the Kohen Gadol, and they're going to like the Kohen Gadol's mother, and they like Kohen Gadol, and they're not going to be davening that the Kohen Gadol dies. Right? Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. Okay, it's a very strange thing to do, right? The whole thing is funny. Right, why? What's funny about it? Good, I mean, that's true. First of all, it's funny to say they're going to pray to kill somebody. That's a kind of a pretty tough tefillah, that he dies.
That he should die.
Okay, so why are they praying that he should die? Right, I guess so they would go free. I mean, it does still seem to be like a pretty difficult type of thing that someone daven for. But at the same time, if a person's miserable and godless, you may think, look, he needs to go free. So that's the only thing that's going to free, so maybe he would end up davening. You're right. I mean, that's the simplest question, is that what are we worried about? God's going to listen to that kind of a tefillah? Right? I mean, they're going to daven that the Kohen Gadol dies, and therefore we have to worry about, like, because this time a Rasha dies, that the Gadol dies. So what are you going to do? And God's going to listen to that? We have to somehow try to disincentivize and make sure that the Rishayim don't daven to kill the Tzaddikim? What are you going to do? The Rishayim. God's going to listen to those types of tefillahs. The whole thing just sounds like, there's one thing to say we're worried that they're going to go and kill the Kohen Gadol, so we have to stop them. But they're not going to kill the Kohen, they're just going to daven. The Kohen Gadol dies because of their selfish thing. They want to get free, so now they're going to daven. Now what? Now all of a sudden we have to worry about that, and then the mother's getting all nervous. Uh-oh. Better watch out. Better make them goodie baskets to prevent it. And also, are these goodie baskets going to really work? I mean, that's it. They're going to be goodie baskets. All of a sudden they're not going to be davening anymore. It's like, oh, it's a little fun. The whole thing is funny, right? It's like a strange thing.
Yeah,
it's right. Almost like tefillah is like a formula. If they say the magic words, then God's going to have to kill the Kohen Gadol, so they better make sure they don't say that formula. But that's not the idea of tefillah. Tefillah is an idea. It's a real tefillah. And if Kohen Gadol doesn't deserve to be killed, what's it going to help that they daven that he dies? He doesn't deserve it. He's a perfectly good Kohen Gadol. And some person who's a murderer starts davening the Kohen Gadol dies, now all of a sudden we get all nervous.
I like how this is
legitimate. It's legitimate. So this isn't my question. The Gemara asks the question. Okay? I'm not making up the question. The Gemara asks, right? It says, Taima, this is the first one, the second wide line on Yeraf Manalef. The third, I don't know, it depends how you count.
Exactly.
Taima de lo matzlo. So the reason why the Kohen Gadol is going to be safe is because the people aren't davening that he should die. Ha matzlo, but if the people would daven the Kohen Gadol die, maisi, he's going to die. So just like a bird to a
bird, like a flying swallow.
Okay, like a wandering bird, like a flying swallow. So too, the curse of an empty curse will not come. Okay, I don't know exactly what the bird and the swallow have to do with it. But basically, as the pasuk which says, the curse, empty curse won't come. Person just stomp curses you and says, God should destroy you. Well, no reason, nothing whatsoever, just totally made up, crazy thing. It doesn't happen. Don't think curses like that don't work out. You don't have to be worried about every time a guy makes a ridiculous curse against you and says, God should do this, and that's it. Now all of a sudden I have to be worried. No, kill us chachachinam lo savo. Right, that's the pasuk. It's a pasuk. You don't have to worry about things, crazy things like that. Okay? Pasuk initially. Right? So that's the problem. What are we worried about? Same questions we were asking, right? Who cares? Let him daven whatever he wants. Why do we have to start worrying about these tefillos? So Omar Le'ehu Saba. Amar Husaba Lemi Pirkei de Rav Ashmeli. From the shir of Rava, I heard the answer. Shehoyalam Levakish Rachamim al Doron. A little picture. The Kohen Gadol should have asked for Rachamim on his Dor. And he didn't. What does that mean? He should have asked for Rachamim. He should have davened. Rashi. Hilkach Lav Kilas Chachinam. So it says, is that...
How did you translate the Shemiel?
He should have...
He? It says they.
Shehoyo Lahan. The Kohen Gadolim Gedolim. Should have davened on their door that they wouldn't be... and they didn't. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, Kohanim Gedolim, should have davened that things like this wouldn't happen in their generation. That people wouldn't be killed b'shogeg. And if they would have davened like that, appropriately, so then everything would have been cool. Then this wouldn't have happened. So in a certain sense, it's saying it's their fault. It's a Kohen Gadol's fault that this guy killed b'shogeg. And since it's a Kohen Gadol's fault that this guy is b'shogeg in Galus, so therefore it's not like an empty curse. Therefore there's some legitimacy to the curse and to the tefillah. He's saying is the Kohen Gadol should die because he's at fault. The Kohen Gadol, at fault, and since the Kohen Gadol is at fault, therefore it's a legitimate tefillah, and since it's a legitimate tefillah, therefore the mother of the Kohen Gadol is to be worried about it, and therefore she's giving them the goodie baskets. Right, exactly. That's the problem. Mark's asking. You're going to tell me is that the fact that there's a murder indicates that the Kohen Gadol didn't daven? How do you know he didn't daven? I mean, that's a fact. The Kohen Gadol davens and that's it. Poof, there's never a murder. Any Kohen Gadol davens and there's not a murder. Right. So it's funny to say altogether. I mean, that's an indication that the guy, the Kohen Gadol, didn't daven, because if he would have davened, then the poof, it would have happened, then there would be no murder. And now if there's murder, you say, oh, it must be. Every time there's murder in a society, it must be the Kohen Gadol sinned. The Kohen Gadol didn't daven. I mean, it just sounds a little bit far-fetched. You're blaming it on the Kohen Gadol now?
And that's your
fault. Right, okay, good. That's a good question. My says, muscles. What should they have davened? Kohen Gadol supposed to daven that people don't kill? People have a right to kill. They have free will. So what's this tefillah supposed to be? That people don't do averos? I mean, if they do an avera, they want to do an avera, they do an avera. If they want to kill, they want to kill. What exactly is the tefillah altogether? That the heck could they daven like that? What kind of tefillah is that? Okay, so you could say, why is it Kohen Gadol's responsibility to daven these things altogether? So then you could say, look, he's the leader. He's the leader of the Am, and he has to protect the people, and somehow, you know, it's legitimate for him to be concerned about the well-being of the Am, and he has to be davening for these things. Assuming you could explain the problem is, how do you daven that they don't do sins? But, like, it does seem to be is that that's the leader's job. The leader's responsibility is to watch out for the people, to protect his people, right? Whereas your average person just worries about himself, but a leader has to worry about his people, right? And so what's he saying now? So he's saying now, since the Kohen Gadol didn't daven, right? So he's saying, therefore, it's his fault, right? Okay, so therefore what? So now how does it work out? So now, fine, so let Hashem punish him. And now it's saying, that's why we're worried that the person will daven for the Kohen Gadol to die, and therefore the mother has to give baskets. And if you tell me it's the Kohen Gadol's avera, so then what's the difference of whether they daven or they don't daven? What are you accomplishing by having them not daven? Bottom line is, if the Kohen Gadol sinned, the Kohen Gadol sinned. And the Kohen Gadol deserves to be killed, then the Kohen Gadol deserves to be killed. Whether they daven or they don't daven, it would seem to be the Kohen Gadol is going to be punished anyways. So what are you doing? You're just all you're accomplishing is you're preventing these Gol Adams, I'm sorry, these Rotzeachs, from requesting it from Hashem. But are you really going to fix the problem? I mean, if you tell me it's the Kohen Gadol sin, it's the Kohen Gadol sin. And if it's not the Kohen Gadol sin, it's not the Kohen Gadol sin. I mean, what does it help by the fact that you're preventing them from actually verbalizing its tefillah? How is that relevant altogether? How's that going to make a difference? I saw this morning, it's interesting, there's a tirgum on this pasuk. Tirgum Yonasem and Aziel on this pasuk, which says, I mean, the tirgum is like, I think it's Tana, I think. But he says that he explains a little bit. He says he waits there until the Kohen Gadol dies. And because, he explains, because the Kohen Gadol didn't daven on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, so the tefillah, remember we say, like in davening, the Kohen Gadol says, like a tefillah katsara, like he davens for certain things in the Kodesh Kadashim. We say, like, that their houses shouldn't fall in, and that the woman shouldn't miscarriage, and that tefillahs of the passerby shouldn't hurt the people. So it says is that since he didn't daven on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kadashim, on the three Averos, the worst three Averos, that the Jewish people shouldn't be killed with the Avodah Zarah, and Gilai Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. And he could have stopped these things through his davening, and he didn't. So because of that, so therefore he's punished that he's going to get killed. And that's why when he gets killed, so I guess he's trying to say, therefore when he gets killed somehow, the guys go free or something. I don't know, it's hard to understand, but that's he's like drawing a similar connection. Based on, presumably it's based on the same Gemara. It's strange, but he's saying it's like the Kohen Gadol has to somehow be davening that these stuff don't happen. But Shemark's question comes back. I mean, what's he supposed to do? I mean, if people are chotem, daven that they don't. Look, I understand trying to teach them not to. But the daven that these things don't happen, it seems to be a little far-fetched, right? Yeah, I'll show you. The Gemara continues. Let's continue a little bit in the Gemara. It says, V'ika demasni. There's another gersa which says, Kadeshi ispalo abaneim shleimuso. That the Mishnah says the mothers used to make the gift baskets in order that the Rotzchim would daven that they don't die. Not that in order to prevent them from davening that he does die. But again, the gift baskets were in order to motivate the Rotzchim to daven to protect the Kohen Gadol. Okay? In other words, we're trying to not just to prevent them from davening a bad tefillah. We're trying to cause them to daven to protect the Kohen Gadol. Induce them to daven to protect the Kohen Gadol. By giving the gift baskets, they're going to daven to protect him. Which is even a further funny thing to say. So it's a time of the matzu, a little matzu maisi. Why? Because you need them to daven? Now you're telling me even worse, if the Rotzchim don't daven for the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol is going to die? That sounds like, why? Right? It's one thing if you can tell me that he's going to die because they daven. Now you're saying he's going to die anyways, and the only way to save him is that they daven, and therefore the mother is trying to get them to daven? What do you want him to do? He's supposed to force them to daven? His life is dependent on their tefillah? It says, yeah. What are you going to say? That you're basically saying is that you're going to tell me that if the Rotzchim don't daven for the Kohen Gadol, then the Kohen Gadol is going to die? It's not the Kohen Gadol's fault, because they didn't daven, the Kohen Gadol is going to die? Their sin. They didn't daven, that's their problem. They should daven. Now you're telling me you're going to punish the Kohen Gadol. What did the Kohen Gadol do wrong? So the more answer is, I'm sorry. So it says, no. Amar hu sabim pirkei d'rav ha-shmiya. Shahil ha-mak shracham al-dar ha-lo-bikshu. Same answer. But they should have davened for their dar. And since they didn't daven for the dar, the Kohen Gadol is really chayav misa. And if not for the fact that these Rotzchim would daven on the Kohen Gadol's behalf, so then the Kohen Gadol's, the people are going to die. The Kohen Gadol's going to die. And it gives an example. Ki hod yahu gavra da'achle aryeh. There was a person once, a story goes, that there was someone who a lion ate him three parses away from Yeshua ben Levi. And Eliyahu didn't talk to Yeshua ben Levi for 3 days. Apparently Eliyahu used to talk to Yeshua ben Levi. And because the lion ate this guy within a few miles away from Yeshua ben Levi, so apparently it was his fault. That he should have davened for this guy. And since he didn't, so therefore he was punished that Eliyahu didn't talk to him anymore for 3 days. Strange Gemara. Right? Strange Gemara. I don't know. I know. I guess you just had to say Yeshua Levi should have just been davening stam that lions don't get people. Because, yeah, I didn't know this guy. But I guess he held that Yeshua Levi wasn't properly davening for his people. For the people, if the fact that this happened, it means apparently he wasn't properly cared and concerned about his people. And because of that, so that was the onus. I mean, it's funny. It's not fair to this guy. Why does this guy do? You know? You're right. Why what? You're right. And it's funny. Why should he daven? Look, if the guy deserves it, he deserves it. He doesn't deserve it. This is what Yeshua Levi has to do. Yeah. So let's just, yes, I hear what you're saying. So let's just get the facts, the difference between the two pshatim. In one pshat, the second pshat is saying is that the Kohen Gadol is going to get killed. He's deserving of Misa, and the only way to save him is if the people of Rotzchem daven for him. And the other way is saying the opposite. He's not going to be killed unless the people daven for him, get to kill him. If the people daven to kill him, then Hashem will listen to that. But if the people don't daven, then he'll be okay. Right, so the mother is, according to that way, the mother is trying to prevent them from davening. According to the other way, that he dies anyways, then the mother is trying to induce them to daven to protect the Kohen Gadol. Not to prevent them. That's the question. Is the mother trying to prevent them from davening to punish the Kohen Gadol? Or is she trying to induce them to daven to protect him? Right? That's the difference in two pshatim. But either way, the reason why the Kohen Gadol is on the hook is because he should have davened on behalf of the people. Yeah, let me digress for a second. You're saying that, Mark, but maybe you could say go even further what you're saying. But there's a famous question. Is he saying tefillah? There's a little bit of a digression, but relevant. You daven, then Hashem will bring you back in tshuva. Right? You should return us to your Torah, right? So how do you daven for that? I mean, don't we have free will? I mean, isn't tshuva your own free will? So how do you say daven that God will bring us back and cause us to do tshuva? Bring us back in tshuva. Right? I mean, you do tshuva. If you want to do tshuva, do tshuva. The God doesn't make you do tshuva. What's he supposed to do? Force you to do tshuva? That's not free will. Right? It's a famous question. I forget, maybe the Marshal asks that or something. I think the Marshal asked the question. Right? So, what? Yeah, bechira. Don't you have bechira? So you're going to ask that God will make you a tzaddik? I mean, God doesn't make people tzaddikim. God has a free will to become a tzaddik or to not be a tzaddik. So listen, this is a tshuva. Tshuva is your tzidkas, your rishos. So I understand saying is that daven, that God will give me money, that God will give me health, that kind of stuff. But to say that God will make me do tshuva, it sounds to be like you're asking God to interfere with your free will. Right? Yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly. The answer is that I think Rebbe said this years ago, Mark's saying now, that it means tshuva is not so simple. Tshuva depends, tzidkas isn't so simple. Tzidkas, tshuva depends upon circumstances. I mean, yeah, a person could just, in a flash, just do tshuva. There's such a thing as possible. But in general, a person needs to have a good Rebbe who teaches him good ideas. He needs to have a certain emotional mindset where he's prone to doing tshuva. The different encounters a person could have could move a person towards tshuva. So you're asking for assistance. Obviously, ultimately, you have to do tshuva yourself. But there could be circumstances in which you find yourself which you will be assisted in doing tshuva. And God helps a person in doing tshuva. But it means he helps a person is he creates a situation where it's right, which is ripe for you to make the move. Create, let's say, some sort of frustration, some sort of thing doesn't work out, it causes you to rethink the situation into whatever, right? Something like that. Now, certain situations could help a person break out of a bad way, right? Like, let's say a guy is addicted to drugs or alcohol or I don't know, something like that. So he could do something really stupid. He could overdose, he could whatever. Something really stupid, and that could cause him to rethink his whole life and to really change. So a situation like that, some event, something happening, could be a stimulus to a person really making a change. So that's like an example. But the idea is that events that happen to us affect us and cause us, help move us towards tshuva. It doesn't mean a person's automatically going to do tshuva because of the event. That's our bechira. But God helps a person. Right? It helps a person. Derech shalom rotzalech malichin also. Some say means that's ashkacha, to help a person. So far as you're looking for tshuva, God will help a person in accomplishing it. For instance, God won't test you with terrible nisyanos. A person wants to do tshuva. If God throws at you all kinds of daivos, then you may not be able to control yourself. If that's the situation, so God could remove that, could prevent that, could help you. So that's an idea. So you're asking God to help a person. Right? That makes sense, right? So I think that's what, Mark, what you started to say here is by the killers. You could say in different forms, but you don't have to go this far, but the idea is that here especially we're talking about Rotzeach B'Shkaga. Right? Rotzeach B'Shkaga, basically, what's the sin of Rotzeach B'Shkaga? It's not like he's going and murdering someone. What's he doing? He's just being not careful. Right? He's being not careful. Now, how many people are not careful and they don't end up killing anybody? Right? A lot of people. Right? A lot of people are not careful. But sometimes it just things just work out well. Right? You say, wow, that thing could have killed me. If I was standing right under that thing, I would have got killed. But I wasn't. Right? I mean, these things are fortuitous types of things. They happen, they don't happen. It's like, just because people, look, if a guy, Mamish, goes up to people and starts killing people, shooting, putting guns to their head and killing them, then already, you know, that's already generally will work. I mean, God could stop that somehow, but it's, you know, he can make an ace. But in general, these types of things are just, you know, things working out in a certain way. Not careful things don't always lead to death. So what it's saying is that the Kohen Gadol, seems like it's saying, is the leader should be mispalo that these factors, these chance factors, work out in favor of Klal Yisrael. People shouldn't just die meaningless deaths just because, oops, it happened. Right? Just the person gets hit by lightning. Or a person happens to be walking under, someone's driving a little bit reckless, and you happen to be in the wrong place. I mean, there are things like that. You happen to be in the wrong place where a drunk driver cuts across the thing and he smashes into it and kills the person. It's almost like it could have not happened. If you were a step back or step ahead, these things don't have to happen, it would seem. They're just like chance things. So the thing is that the Kohen Gadol is responsible for his for the Am, and he has to help the people, and helping the people is, he has different vehicles. One vehicle is teaching the people. The vehicle is bringing karbanos for the people, and other people, the vehicle is davening for the people. Davening to Hashem that God should work out these chance factors, not to work out against us, but that we should be safe. And that's part of the responsibility of a leader. A leader has to use any vehicle of any routes available to him to be able to protect the people. He has to be preemptive about it. And tefillah is a route. Right? Now, the question is, does that mean any time there's a Ratzicha B'Shkaga, it means the Kohen Gadol didn't daven? That's hard to accept that, right? That's what your question was, Mark, right? That's it. B'Shkaga, Kohen Gadol. Right? I don't know if you have to go that far. First of all, it could be he davened, but he didn't daven good enough. There's an idea of, like, different levels of tefillah. Maybe he wasn't as committed to that idea as he should have been. Or it doesn't seem, look, maybe he did. But let's say sometimes that's the case. I don't know if you have to say every single time anyone dies, it means the Kohen Gadol didn't daven. But there is, in general, it's the responsibility, it is under the responsibility of the Kohen to be mispalo for the people. Things, bad things, like, don't happen to happen. Like in the Kodesh Kedoshim, he davens for that people shouldn't have miscarriages. That's an example, right? Shouldn't have miscarriages, their houses shouldn't fall in. Like, certain random things, which just may occur, that's the leader, the responsibility of the leader to daven to Hashem, those things don't happen. So insofar as a person kills b'shogeg, it's likely, or there's a chance, that it's not just the sin and the responsibility of the guy who killed b'shogeg, but it's also responsibility of the Kohen Gadol that he wasn't properly mispalel, or his tefillah wasn't answered to protect his am. So there is the possibility of a culpability on the part of the Kohen Gadol as well. And that's a sin. That's the sin. These are the sins of leaders. Leaders have different nisyonos. A leader's responsibility is the people. And if a leader fails the people, that's a sin. That's a terrible sin. Because he's responsible to help the people out and to protect them and to save them and to, you know, to make sure that they're protected. Just like, for instance, a parent could be mispalel that terrible accidents don't occur to their kids. Right? The parents love their kid. And they realize that crazy accidents happen. Right, random accidents happen, and you can't be watching your kids all the time. You know, there's only a certain limitation that you could do, so you can just follow that something terrible doesn't happen. Right, that could be something you can just follow about. So if you love your kid, that might be something that, and you love your kid, and you recognize the idea of tefillah, and then person could make such a tefillah. So the thing is, the Kohen Gadol, even more so, he has a whole nation, there's bound to be accidents, or at least probability. So the thing is, insofar as he has a love of the nation and he realizes his role as a leader, so and he realizes the koach of tefillah, so he should be mispalel. And he should, and that's, you see that from that tefillah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. So the thing is, he should have included this, that these guys shouldn't have died. So in a certain sense, the Kohen Gadol is responsible for these averos. For the fact that these averos, and first of all, for the fact that the guy got killed. That whoever this victim got killed. And not only that, for the fact that the Gol Hadah, the Rotzeach, is in Golas. Because now, what's going to happen now? Is it fun in Golas? No. It's a hard life. Now here, this Gol Hadah, this Rotzeach, is going to feel, oh, it's true, look, I was culpable. But the Kohen Gadol is also culpable. He let me down. He should have been a smile for me. And in a certain sense, he's right. There is a certain degree of culpability that the Kohen Gadol had that he didn't prevent this thing from happening. So you could imagine that he would be mispal to Hashem to basically end this torture, this suffering, which could have been avoided. It really could have been avoided if the Kohen Gadol was careful or was davened properly. And because it didn't, it's his fault, partially. Again, I don't think it means it's all the Kohen Gadol's fault, but it's possible that it's partially the Kohen Gadol's fault. So the he could daven. He says, look, it's not fair. The Kohen Gadol should be punished for this. And then that would end his tsar. So he's basically like in a state of suffering, the Rotzeach. And insofar as a person's in a state of suffering, and he cries out to Hashem to save him from the suffering and to protect him from the suffering, and the Kohen Gadol is responsible and does deserve an honor, so maybe Hashem would listen. Maybe Hashem would listen. But you still have a question to answer, but let me just pause for a moment here before. It's not so simple, but it. Okay, yes. Yeah, no, I'm saying it's like, it is that they should get out. But that's the Gemara's question. Is that if it's just that they daven because they want to get out, that's when it says, that's kilas chinam. That's just, you just don't like it, so you daven to let the Kohen Gadol killed. But that's ridiculous. You can't just daven things like that. There's no justification for it. And even if you do daven it, God doesn't listen to things like that. But he's saying is there is a justification for it because God may listen to it because they are responsible. Now, you could say the Rotzeach doesn't know that, or you could say the Rotzeach does know that. That's the fact about that. It's just God's got no responsibility. So the Rotzeach may or may, it doesn't matter to me whether he knows or does know. I just don't see him as say he partially does know about it. So his tefillah isn't, it's not like he's just doing a ridiculous tefillah, but God knows that it's a kind of part of the responsibility. I'm saying is maybe the Rotzeach of Chicago knows about that also, and he does partially blame him, and therefore the tefillah isn't just a ridiculous tefillah. See, because otherwise you have to say it's just like it's a crazy tefillah. But since, in fact, God knows that the Kohen is responsible, so then God may listen. What I'm saying is it would actually explain what kind of crazy tefillah is it. No, because the tefillah is that it's the Kohen Gadol's fault, it's partially his fault, and now I have to suffer for this thing, so I'm a spala. The Kohen Gadol should die, he'll get his onesh, in order so that I'll be able to be safe. Look, it's still a funny tefillah, but it doesn't matter, you know, either, I don't need that, it's not, you know, I could say the same thing, whether if you say he knows or doesn't know. If he doesn't know also, it's possible, I just think it, given that that's a fact, that it's a kind of responsibility, so then it's likely that the person would know that. You know, we just don't relate to this type of thing, because it's funny, the whole idea is funny to us. But if you do say that it's a responsibility, then presumably the Tzach would know that the Kohen Gadol had a certain failing, you know. But let me ask you a question. If you say that, this is an important question. If you say that Kohen Gadol deserves this punishment, he did a sin, so shouldn't Hashem just punish him? What does it have to do with whether or not he davens or doesn't daven? Because if he deserves a punishment, he deserves a punishment. If he doesn't deserve a punishment, what's the gift basket going to do? I mean, what's just? Does justice dictate that the person should be punished? Does it just dictate that he shouldn't be punished? Right, what's the gift basket going to help? It's like all you have to do is make him not daven, and then the Kohen Gadol is not going to be punished. I mean, if the Kohen Gadol didn't have Eira, and the Kohen Gadol justly deserves to be punished and to be killed, so then why are you giving the gift basket? Like, it's almost like you're sneaking your way around. Then is it going to work, what, the gift basket? Yeah, I know, that's the question also. Is how is this gift basket going to work? No, it's true. Yeah, right, it's true. That's going to prevent you? Yeah, exactly. You want to be free. You want your life back, but now all of a sudden you get some little gift basket, free food, and all of a sudden that's it. I'm here. I'm in Galus my whole life. Why? Because I get a little gift basket? I mean, it seems like a far-fetched type of a thing. How effective is this? How good is this gift basket, and how bad was his life beforehand? Right? I know, it sounds like a little stretch. Yeah, no, I think Jake's saying is good. Is that, what's the state of mind of a person davening that someone else will die, right? So I think the state of mind is a person who's in, like, total despair. He's in a tough strait. He's in galus. He doesn't have anything. He's on his own. No, he lost all his friends. It's like it could be a terribly painful state of existence, galus, right? And so far as that's the case, he just cries out to Hashem to save him, to protect him. How could I get free? The Kohen Gadol, get rid of the Kohen Gadol. It's like there's a certain state of mind that a person has to be in to make that kind of a request, where he's totally, like, broken. Gullus could break a person. And what the mothers did, the gift baskets do, is they prevent them from being broken. They allow him to have, someone loves you, someone cares, you're getting stuff. It's not the food or the gift or whatever. It's just, and it's not that it makes it worth it. It just, it's just that as long as a person isn't in such a terribly hard state, then he'll be able to be in a good state of mind. He's not going to be in such a state of suffering that he's going to be able to, his emotional, he'll shift his emotional attitude towards the Kohen Gadol and towards the Galus and towards the whole thing, that is going to prevent him from davening. Now, is he going to say, oh, I'd rather be in Galus than at home? No, he's not going to say that. But the point is, he's at least going to be in like a normal state of mind. He's not going to be under such intense psychological pressure. So now he's not going to be able to say, now he's not going to go and start davening Kohen Gadol dies. He'll realize, look, he's a chote, whatever, and it would be nice to Kohen Gadol dies, but he's not going to enunciate a tefillah. Like, the person who enunciates that tefillah is a person who gets broken by galus. And what the mothers of gift baskets try to do is to prevent them from getting broken. Because, you know, if they get broken, and that's what I think also, is that you see that there's an idea that God listens to the tefillahs of those who are broken. Like of a yaso and an almana, and right, there's a psukim that say that. That if they cry out to Hashem, then God answers them. So there's an idea of a person who's in a terrible psychological state of being alone, and in a certain sense, galus is like that. Right? He's alone. So insofar as a person has that sense, then he'd cry out to Hashem, then may God may answer that tefillah. Because he's crying out of his great intense, it says, if God, they cry out, and then God will answer. Right? Because they don't wrong an almana, because the almana will cry out to Hashem, and he'll answer, and he'll kill you, he'll make your wives almanas. You know? So the thing is, if the Kohen Gadol causes this tsar to the person, and the person cries out in his tsar, that type of a tefillah is often answered. There's the idea, God is shamea the cry of those who are in a tough straits. So the Kohen Gadol gift basket is preventing that situation. It's preventing that emotional state of oppression, and thereby preventing the tefillah. Thereby not going to be misbound. And then he'll be okay. Now, to the other question is, just because a person may deserve a sin, deserve a punishment, doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to execute justice. There's such a thing as a person who deserves an onesh, but Hashem is the zrachma. Hashem is merachim. Not every time you deserve an onesh, midas adin, you deserve an onesh, is does God just punish you, zap, and kill you. It doesn't always work that way. A person could deserve an onesh, but God doesn't answer. God doesn't punish him. He gives him erech avakadz and erech apayim. He gives him time to do tshuva. He's merciful. He's a merachim, right? But if you cause someone else oppression, and God's going to be, like for the Kohen Gadol, let's say the Kohen deserves misa. So he deserves misa. Does that mean Hashem's going to kill him? Maybe not. Maybe God will be merachim. But if rachmanus to the Kohen Gadol is going to mean causing tsar and suffering to this person, and this person is davening to Hashem to execute justice on the Kohen Gadol, so then for God to be mercy to the Kohen Gadol is torture to the to this person and galus. So then God's then it's a good chance God's rachman won't kick in, because the rachman is rachman for him, but it's achzarius to the other person. The other person's in a state of great suffering. But it's saying is so that, but if you could manage to cause these people to be happy, to give them the gift baskets and to prevent them from getting in that state of intense pain and suffering and tefillah. So then it's a good chance God will be a merachim. So that's what the mother realized. The mother realizes that these people may potentially be in a state of great suffering, in which case they're going to cry out to Hashem. And in such a state, it could be the Kohen Gadol's chait is not going to be overlooked. But they're going to execute the din, and the Kohen Gadol really does deserve that. So therefore, the gift baskets were an attempt to prevent that, to sway them, to calm them down, and thereby to prevent them. And then the Midas Rachma, maybe, even the Kohen Dozachote, the Midas Rachma could prevent it, could protect them. You know what I mean? Look, even with the gift basket, Gullus isn't a fun place to be, but he'll do tshuva, he'll learn, he'll work on himself, he'll appreciate the Kohen Gadol, he'll think about the life of the Kohen Gadol. There's an idea of not every time that you're in a tough situation, or you can respond for the person to die. Look, person may feel like if their boss would die, then they could rise, or whatever, and then they'd be great. But you don't daven that your boss is going to die. I mean, look, a lot of people in life where you can imagine, envision that if they were dead, then things would be better. But you don't just daven for people to die like that. It's not normal. A normal person doesn't do that. It's a person under great intense pressure would do that. You know, so that's the thing, is you got to relieve the pressure, and that's what the mother knew, is that if you show them love, show them concern, you give them food, you give them clothing, you just show them that you care. And it's not only that, it's like Jakey said, it's coming from the mother of the Kohen Gadol. So it's, after all, presenting the mother Kohen Gadol proves of it, so you see that the Kohen Gadol really supports the people. And maybe he didn't daven for you 100%, fine, but he still is a mistake. He cares about you, his mother cares about you, we're an am, where leaders do care about the people. So you'll feel good. You feel good about yourself. So that saying is, it'll prevent the despair of galus. Galus is not meant to cause a person to break a person. See, jail could do that to a person. You break people. But galus is not meant to do that. So it's saying is, the Kohen Gadol's, the mother of the Kohen Gadol, helped to prevent that. It helped to prevent that, that a person wouldn't fall into that type of a state. Yeah. I don't know. Just one other thing. So the other pshat, though, apparently holds, the second pshat in the Gemara holds that really, Mikar Adin, really, he would be killed. And God would exact the din on him. And Min Adin, he deserves death, and really, that will happen. And it's only because they're Mevakesh Rachamim on his behalf that they love the Kohen Gadol. They value the Kohen Gadol. They value the Kohen Gadol's mother. They appreciate what the Kohen Gadol stands for. They're Mespalel that the Kohen Gadol will be saved. And that's what she's trying to do. I mean, according to that pshat, it's not just saying is that he deserves din, but Rachman would protect him, and now, you know, they're trying to step in and prevent him from the tefillah. It's like a whole different way of learning. It's saying, is it really din, he will be killed. And the assumption is that he will be punished. This is a terrible chay. But insofar as the Kohen Gadol can impact them, and it can make the people love him so much that they're going to daven, and the mother will so much that he'll daven, God will listen to their tefillah. That tefillah, on the behalf of these people who, on the contrary, their life is dependent on his death, and still they're davening for him, then that will be a zchus to protect the Kohen Gadol. It's like a different, I mean, it's what to be analyzed there, but it seems that essentially the question between the two pshatim is that will the Kohen Gadol be killed alone? Just because of this chait? Will this chait alone cause him to be killed? Or no, it allows him to be killed if they're a misval. But it won't kill him without their tefillah. You know, the second shot is, no, it'll kill him automatically, and without their tefillah, then that's it. God's going to punish. Such a bad chait that God would punish, if not for the fact that they daven to step in. Oh, no. According to the second shot is, what leads to the killing of the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen was a chote, because he didn't daven for the people properly. Nothing to do with their tefillah. He did a chait, and that chait is a terrible chait, and God kills for that kind of a chait. And unless God does step in and prevent that, if even the people who you'd think would care the most for the death of the Kohen Gadol are going to daven for his behalf to protect him, then that will be a zchus. That means the Kohen Gadol has managed to be a great leader and whatever, and then there'll be a zchus that will save him. And then it will be, it was one slip-up, he didn't daven properly, but you know, people, somehow he made through his mother and whatever, he managed to impact the people in a way that's, will be his chasman. But that pshat is learning that you don't need their tefillah to impact, to create the onesh. The onesh is going to come automatically. The second pshat is that the onesh, no, it wouldn't have come automatically, even though technically it deserves it, God would be a merachim. And it's only through their tefillah that it will stimulate, be a stimulus for the onesh. Yeah. Okay, so these are just some, tentative thoughts in the area. I mean, I'm not claiming that this resolves all the problems. I think it's like a good, rational way to understand this whole thing. But, presumably these points could be understood a little deeper. But I think it's like a good direction to be able to resolve this. I mean, each of these points could be thought into more deeply. And, we could try to do a little better. But I'd like to move on. I mean, I think this is a good approach for the thing. And I want to move on for tomorrow. Basically, the Gemara is getting into some other God that tells us about this Kilas Chacham and this other stuff. Oh, I forgot. I wanted to take up the Ayubaya. Okay, so we'll try that for tomorrow. The question is, do you need them all to die? There's three Kohanim Gadolim. What makes them go free? All three of them dying or only one of them? The few lines before the Mishnah, right? That's what I said I was going to do today. I just forgot. Okay, so we'll do that, and then once we finish that, we'll start the next Gemara.
Wait.
Start the next Mishnah. Start from the four lines before the Mishnah on Yerachim and Vesk.